Welcome to the Between Two Frames Photography Podcast. On this episode, we interview Chantel Knight, or Zombie, about what it's like to be a cosplayer, a streamer, a model, and we discuss what it's like to build a brand and what it's like to develop that brand. Welcome Chantel to Between Two Frames.
Thanks for having me.
You obviously know who Josh is, so I'm not going to introduce him.
She was scolding me for playing my new Final Fantasy character off stream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Because people want to see you build the character. They want to see you level it. They want to see you, like, play the story. They're probably there for the story more than anything.
If you're signing up for Final Fantasy 14, you're a glutton for punishment on the story side. So, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So don't skip on them.
Ma'am.
So,
Senpai,
yeah. So I've known you since 2010, maybe.
It would have been 10, yes.
I met you in Black Walnut.
Yeah, that's when I moved to Welland for college. So, yeah, Black Walnut, 2010. Yeah.
Oh, there's
I started college.
Yeah, we had a bunch of the same classes, like history of art and all these other crossover classes. And you were friends with, what's her name? Vanessa is how I met you. Vanessa Campbell.
I mean, I wouldn't say friends.
You knew her. You knew her because you were sitting at the same table and that's how I met you. Okay. You were classmates.
Yes, we were classmates. Yeah. I hung out with like Toby and Eric and
I remember all of them. I remember all of them.
And Matt. Yeah. Matt still comes into my Twitch once in a while.
But yeah, so welcome. And so I believe when I met you, you were just kind of starting cosplay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, so tell me about that. What got you interested in that and where it progressed from there?
Well, this is a old story that I feel like I've told many times back in the day, so it'll be nice to rehash it.
Bullet point version. It's cool.
Back when I was 16, I started talking to a cosplayer named Linda Lee, aka Vampy Bit Me. And that was all via Twitter. She started following me and I followed her back and I like fell madly in love with everything about her and got into cosplay myself. When I moved to the city after high school, I got to experience my first few cons. My first one was Anime North and then Fan Expo. And then I did Niagara Falls Comic Con. Before it was Niagara Falls Comic Con, it was at Dave & Buster's.
Yes, I remember it. I was there.
It was a good time.
That sounds awesome.
Not even Dave & Buster's anymore.
No, it's not.
It's Pirates Cove, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It's got this cheap Jack Sparrow thing guy.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got into cosplay. The fact that I made it so fast with a following and stuff just by being in Niagara Falls and being around Toronto and like being in the hustle and bustle. I feel pretty proud of myself to got where I did in cosplay.
Yeah, I feel it was a very meteoric rise. Like you went from nothing to like something.
I will say this though, okay? I will say this, you were at the right time for it. This
it was
before the oversaturation. Like social media hadn't really even gotten its roots yet, let alone cosplay on social media being a thing. I mean, I've been in that scene for 20 years, so I've seen the whole thing.
I feel like at the time, like in pop culture, Big Bang Theory was just starting to get cool.
Yeah.
Which helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely did help a lot, but even just like
proceeded to hurt a lot.
Well, all the superhero movies in general that have come out over the time, like it has brought back people back to their fandom, and it has brought a lot of new people into fandoms,
right?
Where they don't think comics are so lame anymore.
It's not a niche product anymore.
Big Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do agree. I definitely started cosplay when it was little.
Like, okay, at that time there was Yaya Han, there was Jessica Negri, there was Vampy, And like a couple, like they were the top tier, and then there were like there's like
and then there
a
was
tier
like
below
yeah
that.
the tier below, which would had like Anamia, Nicole, Jean,
Yes.
Ivy,
Yeah.
Leanna Vamp, which
I'm
I
cool with her.
Got into that little crowd somehow, luckily.
I say it every time, but how much do we love Leanna?
I love Leanna.
I love Leanna so much. Anybody who has their wedding at Knott's Berry Farm near Halloween, instantly cool.
But yeah. I think, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think what helped with my rise so fast was the fact that I was in graphic design. We learned about branding, which was something that really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed branding. I liked creating the atmosphere of what I could sell to people.
Right.
And I quickly picked up on all that stuff, created a brand for myself, and I like to play it with the classic fake it till you make it. So right. I would tell people, I'd be like, here's my business card. I'm a cool cosplayer. You want to get to know me, you know?
I remember that.
Yeah.
here's the funny thing. When your name found its way to me, it was not in a positive light.
I figured.
People, and it was quickly discovered to just be jealous people.
It always is.
It was like, yeah, but people were shit talking you. And a lot of it was over your name, because you were Zombie Bit Me back then because of being friends with Linda.
I mean, Linda, yeah.
And like, you had to explain to people like, oh, she signed off on that. You know, I am not trying to be the poor man's Vampy Bit Me. I'm like, no, that's a thing she signed off on and said it was adorable.
Yeah.
But you later rebranded to your own thing. What brought you to that, and how did you do it?
Well, for the fact that I didn't want to be in her shadow anymore, like as much as I loved her and idolized her, and she is the embodiment of an amazing cosplayer that has brought positivity. I wanted to finally be my own. And growing up within the cosplay community, you know, you get very sidetracked on finding out who you are when you want to be everything else, especially in cosplay. You're dressing up because you want to be something else, right? So it definitely took me a while to like get to the point where it's like, okay, I want to be me. I know who I am now. And then, yeah, I finally did it. What was it, like 5 years ago?
Let's see. If we go to the folder, I can find the shoot.
Yeah, I remember.
I took a break for 2 years, kind of. Not like a full break, but as I moved to Toronto.
You dialed back a little.
It was dialed back for sure.
So I have it here. I have your site launch content tagged January 2018.
Okay. So that's when I fully rebranded. 2 years prior, like during the time that I moved to Toronto and then moved to Mississauga and all the places, I kind of like, yes, definitely slowed down, didn't do as much, didn't want to really push the name that I had currently. So yeah, doing the big change was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I said, you definitely became like locked into your brand. Like for anybody who's going to go check Shan out that doesn't know her already, and you're watching the video right now, see this frame with the neon and the tentacle that she's sitting on. That is,
yeah.
Like this here is on brand. Go to her website. It looks just like that.
Yeah, it does.
I
brand all the time.
The time. I told you, I am a
that
big
you have
advocate
to be.
For branding.
Your brand is who you are.
Yeah.
And I take personal pride in the fact that the figurine case behind her is like half filled with stuff I gave her.
What just happened to my computer? Oh. Ooh, okay. Yes. Yeah. All except my little Malona.
Yeah.
In there is the Queen's Blade is from you.
So when do we get a figurine of you?
There's been one already.
Wanna like sponsor that?
I mean, no, but I know people will.
Ken, do you not have that one that got 3D printed of you as Sonico still?
I mean, it broke a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
I hated it. So there's that.
Yeah, that was like when 3D printers were just kind of happening.
I want like a plastic, properly molded, like 3D made anime figure of me with the tentacles, some horns, like, and a, like a controller in my hand. That's what I want.
I got a friend to keep if you're listening. To get a 3D printer.
Well, if they have a 3D printer and then know someone who knows how to build it.
I know people who make like wrestling action figures for like indie wrestlers who don't get action figures. So I could probably get you an action figure.
But we gotta do an anime version. And I know exactly.
It's gotta be a waifu for all the weebs out there.
There's a generational gap term. I'm like, I'm not a weeb. I'm an otaku because I'm old.
Well, I would say the difference between weeb and otaku is weeb just likes the in the media stuff, whereas otaku actually understands Japanese culture.
Yeah, we're the insufferable ones because we've read up so much.
That's true. Although I am sad I still don't speak a lot of Japanese.
I'm picking it up a bit through kendo.
I see. I know the weeby
side. I have to know instructions in Japanese now. So.
Oh, yeah. So with being a cosplayer, is that what kind of got you to start modeling, was just like to get pictures of your costumes?
No, actually I was modeling before I got into cosplay.
Okay, so how'd that start?
I don't know. I was 13 and I was doing like non-smoking ad campaigns for the high schools. I was trying to do like just any like side stuff that I could do just to build up a portfolio. And like, obviously I knew I was 13, can't do anything sexy. I'm not that dumb. Everything was done safe. Like I'd work with other photographers from high school that also wanted to build up portfolios and stuff like that. I actually did a lot of gothic stuff.
You're at the age, right?
Yeah. I was, went through that goth emo scene phase.
I've seen some of that. You need to make sure those photos are killed with fire.
Yep. They're hidden away, locked away from all sight unless I show them.
So much eyeliner. Oh my God.
Yeah, the under eyeliner. Yeah. But it started modeling first. And then when obviously I turned 18, things started to flourish for me because so many more options, obviously.
Yeah. That's usually how it works.
It's usually how it works. Although I was not one of the 18-year-olds that just jumped into camming right away.
Yeah, no. I know lots of them, but...
Nothing against it, but no, I did not do that.
Well, good.
So while we're there, why don't we have that discussion, get a little real for a second? So Rob and I have a... There's an admiration and an intense frustration with the OnlyFans scene.
Okay.
And it basically stems from the fact that, you know, we're happy that women have this outlet for, you know, kind of independent income and like, hey, we respect the hustle. I mean, we're hustlers. But
I'm going to correct you right there. Not just women.
Okay.
You're right. Okay.
But for the most part.
Nope. I know so many Twitch streamer guys that are making it.
Yeah, okay.
But the point we're getting
to, world.
The point where we're getting to the frustration here is that we're running into this scenario a lot where we're doing our portfolio building shoots And then people turn around and sell it on OnlyFans when we weren't able to make money off it.
Well, I mean, you should be signing
obviously
stuff and getting paid prior, right? And then whatever they make, whatever they make.
But then it kind of leads to this deeper frustration of, it feels like it's a lot easier for models to sell their content than it is for photographers and videographers.
Well, absolutely, in a way.
And that's our frustration. Feels like it's weird.
You guys need to look at things a different way. You have this stuck mind in, oh, it's so easy for a girl to take off her clothes and make this money. But you need to think of your own niches that's going to get you seen to be able to help these people do said work.
Explain.
Well, I'm this not is a good content.
Rob,
this is Rob,
needs to know, Rob really needs to know. This is more for so Rob because he's a glamour guy.
Photographer friends, including you guys, but especially the ones in the States who are making killings off of working with these girls where they make sure they sign the papers, they make sure they get paid prior, or they take a percentage, they start fucking running the girls OnlyFans half the time. So they also get a percentage off of that. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things that you could
right.
be able to offer them to well, be able it, to
it's,
get.
It's funny pay. That you said, the photographers helped run them, because I've thought about that like as a business model, because
it's almost like a manager.
Yeah. Side. So like a guy sending a message to a girl doesn't need to know that it's not the girl responding. Yep. As long as he thinks it is, it's okay.
That's
but
right.
On that same, but then she doesn't have to worry about it.
Like exactly.
She doesn't have to look at every single dick pic.
Exactly. There's that too. But I mean, a lot of them.
So like, you pay a premium.
I'm assuming they're already so busy too. So like what they're worrying right. about is they're doing their live stuff while someone else is running the background stuff, yeah. doing the posts for them and like right. making sure everything's up to date.
Yeah. But then see, as a great idea as that is, and I can see that being an amazing arrangement. There's a hurdle to clear there because of how many people on those sites just use a cell phone and that's all they ever need. It's hard to convince them to go for higher quality when they feel they don't need it.
One thing I've learned personally is that cell phone type pictures make more money anyway.
Mm.
They do find that it is very personalized.
Right. Yes. They that's what like I'm saying. That. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a thing, yeah. for sure. But that doesn't stop you guys from taking a cell phone and doing right. the same thing for them.
Yeah. Well, I just bought a new wide lens that mimics a cell phone, so we're good.
Go.
We get way better bokeh.
But then the funny thing is, I actually like it better when, like, a model, if it's a model, and they run, like, their personal site, like you do. I subscribe to your site, not your OnlyFans.
More girls are actually getting into doing that too, because they realize that they can keep 100% of profit. Right.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons I feel better doing it. Like
2%, but
yeah,
that's one of the reasons I feel better doing about it. And the stuff you post on your website is so much nicer.
Well, that's why I have the difference. I have right. the website that has the high quality
you're paying a premium essentially. Yeah.
And then I have OnlyFans, which is cell phone content, in which sometimes I do put premium content on there. However, there is no discount.
Yeah. Right on. And so because you're, you know, a Renaissance woman who's got a corner all the markets, you have another place where you're really starting to thrive, where you keep all of your clothes on. That's
it's true
all the time. I you probably still consider yourself still building, obviously, but I think you've grown quite a bit. Like when I see people like with five people in the room, I know they're doing pretty well. You're in like near 30 every night now.
I've only grown within the last 2-3 months. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, you know, we've moved. I have my own stream room now. It looks pretty on stream. I look good, you know. I don't know if it's because I'm doing more social media marketing. I started adding myself into Discords, being like, there's like lurker Discords or whatever that you can post your stream into, and people just come and if they want to lurk, they can lurk, or if they want to chat, they can chat. I don't know. I don't know if it's because I've been more social with it, or if it's my atmosphere. I still don't think I'm that entertaining, but I'll take it.
I like to say, when you're playing a group game, you're quite entertaining, because then you're cursing like a sailor. when you're solo playing, you're locked in.
Sometimes. Depends on what, like, if I currently haven't had anything to do in my current solo game. No bosses to get angry at the moment.
I like you being on Twitch. That feels like, if anybody knows you, they know like the you know, at home in sweats playing video game version of Shan, which I would call the real version. There we go. I'm just like, yeah, that Shan in her element, just yeah. Like yeah. Like no, fucking take the damage.
I've also like tried kind of harder recently on like making myself more presentable on camera. I don't do full makeup, but I do something. Something to look like I'm not in my house, like I'm actually leaving for work for the day.
Yeah.
Even though work is 10 steps from your bedroom.
Sometimes it's even hard, you know? Sometimes it's hard to go to work even when it's 10 steps from your bedroom.
Right.
Well, lately, takes a lot of
mental capacity is what I was going to say.
Lately, I've I don't know if you've heard, but I don't work for that moving company anymore.
Oh, I did not hear.
I won't talk about that in this, but I've been out of work since January 5th, and so I'm getting way more creative at learning how to make money.
Oh, that's good. That's good. See, that's what we want to hear.
Right. And it's actually doing, I'm doing quite well. I'm way happier now. I have like less, I'm going to call them depression episodes.
Good.
Because I'm doing things I want to do now. And if I want to sit and play video games all day, I sit and play video games all day. But, you know, every single day I try to motivate myself to do something work related. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just schedule my posts for the next 3 days, whatever it might be, just something every day that pushes me forward. Whether it's book a shoot for next week, whatever. And maybe it's edit old pictures, like something, something that is productive.
And yeah, I agree.
It's pushing me in the right direction, which is why, like, so Josh and I started the podcast last year or the year before.
We did like 3 episodes under a different name.
Yeah.
And it was called Don't Feed the Models then.
Yeah.
Don't feed the models. I want a donut.
and we would give you the donut. That's the joke.
I want a donut. Yeah. I keep thinking about like the podcast, and I was like, hey Josh, you want to try doing it again, but with Zoom, so then we don't have to go anywhere. Like, we don't have to schedule everybody in the same room together. And that's true. And we can literally have anybody as a guest, because you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, that might actually work. And so I have all of the equipment in my house to make it successful. So why the hell am I not doing it? So I figured we'd try it. And so far I've made 15 cents on advertising.
That's not zero.
Right. No, exactly. Starting at zero. And I figure that's based on number of listens. So the more the listens go up, the more money I'll make. Because like, after the first episode went up, by the time the second one was uploading, I was offered my first sponsorship.
Have you thought about having a Patreon for yourself? I did start one.
And then I started to get OnlyFans dudes.
I mean, it might happen, but I know a lot of photographers and videographers that do start up Patreons to do either like how to do this equipment, like some tutorials will be super exclusive because of Patreon, but then you can have things also on YouTube to be like, hey, here's a taste, come join this.
Right.
You can have your merch there. You can have
Yeah, I've looked at all of that. I actually my Patreon is set up.
You can even have your podcast there.
I've made literally $48 so far.
That's good.
But it's mostly just, you know, and then I'll get a message saying, hey, can I have pictures of blah 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 blah? And I'll be like, no.
No, go ask her.
But like, I was doing like a live stream of my editing, which I mean isn't exactly exciting, especially if there's nobody. Like you, when you game, you have an audience and people talk to you, and so I tried that, but like three people joined, and I was like, okay.
Hey! It took me 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
To have more than five people.
Yeah.
So it takes time. Right. It's a grind. You have to have a schedule. You have to do it for at least five or more hours.
Like in a day?
Yeah.
Gross. I don't have that much editing.
Consecutively. Like I stream for about 6 to 8 hours every day.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a grind.
Yeah.
So...
Josh, I don't have that much editing.
Like, I don't know how I can do that.
Yeah, I don't have that much editing. I wouldn't know what to do.
Just chatting. I don't know. Maybe not just editing, but maybe explaining on different things. Just talking about equipment in general. Doing your podcast, even like podcast style, just chatting. People love just chatting on Twitch.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started a Patreon and it's completely set up and I set out my payout thing and like everything is like done. It just needs more content.
And there's a comedian who does his podcast through Patreon because he keeps getting demonetized everywhere else. So, I mean, heck, if you want to have some more raunchier type talks, fucking put them on there.
Yeah.
Well, right like now, that shit sells.
Right now, my host is Anchor, which is through Spotify, and they do all the distribution for me. Okay. So, like, I'm on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, and yada 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 yada.
Yeah, you know how to quit.
What?
I can't remember who it was. It was like Joe Rogan or someone that had to switch over to Patreon.
Joe Rogan just got a multi-million-dollar deal with Spotify.
Yeah,
I can't remember which one it was. There's a bunch that Joe listens to all the time, and he literally subbed $5 to listen to this guy's podcast.
Right. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. But anyway, yeah. So
I'm business. I am always business.
We should have a real talk one day. Come for a visit.
I'm down.
All right. I'm trying to get her to come visit all the time.
Wait, are you coming here or am I going there?
I mean, you can come here. I doesn't matter. Yeah. We'll get it sorted one of these days.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. But yeah, so back to you because nobody wants to hear about me. You're the guest.
But you're the host.
You're right.
I'm the Josh.
I'm the Josh. But yeah, so. Back to you. I've lost my train of thought. So we were talking about you as a streamer. So let me think. How did you go about doing like, because I remember very early on, you started networking to like different conventions.
Yes.
And so like we went to Chicago. How did you get into that? Like, how did that come about?
That they contacted me. I did not see it coming because A, I don't do burlesque dancing.
Right.
B, I don't do stripping.
Yeah.
So I was kind of shocked when they asked me to come help co-host a burlesque strip show.
Yeah.
At the Admiral
Theater. Which was a fantastic show.
It was a fantastic show. What I didn't like was that they had so many hosts and the main host was so driven to be the center of attention I felt like I didn't know what I was there for exactly. Yeah.
Like, so you were like basically those like extra, like the presenters at an Academy Awards show. You weren't the host, but you were one of the people who got to come on and introduce somebody.
Right. It was just, it was weird. So, I mean, as much fun as it was and easy money that it was, I like feeling useful. When I'm hired for something, I want to do something.
Right.
And it felt just very like, I felt like I fell flat. And that's not a good feeling when you're being hired to do something.
Right.
Yeah. But okay. I don't know how I came about that, to be honest. So,
but I know, like, I know you've like been to other conventions, and how do you like start from maybe getting at getting a table at your local one to traveling North America?
Definitely the word of mouth through other cosplayers, like all the girls that we've mentioned previously already, that I ended up, you know, kind of getting in the clique and being friends with them. And they definitely helped out a lot, because not only was I meeting them, but I met their fans when I got to travel out, and their fans were also accepting and also became, you know, my fans. And within that, you know, I just had to tell them to be like, hey, if you want to see me at your local con, you know, suggest me kindly to the con, and hopefully they'll hit me up and, and go from there. I never really asked for payments when I went out of country, other than, you know, pay for my way there and pay for me somewhere to stay.
Yeah, which is a good way of doing it. I've said the same thing, like, about wanting to travel as a photographer, COVID not included. But like, why not just cover my expenses and I'll go somewhere and shoot?
Yeah, like I'm working for free. You just need to get me there.
it gives me the experience to be able to say, hey, look what I did. And then eventually it becomes worth more.
Yeah, and it becomes more and more where people are like, oh, you went and did this for this company or this convention. I would like to hire you. I will pay you this much.
Right.
And then it just keeps building from there. But unfortunately, conventions got really greedy as I grew up.
Yeah.
Oh, they all became corporate.
Yeah.
Like, I think pretty much Anime North is still the only fan-run one I know about, but it's also so big that they, like,
have
to get a bit of corporate money in.
I mean, they've had Yaya Han there a few times. They do hire some cosplayers, like Vicky was also hired to be there once. I got hired by a gaming company to work at their booth there, which was great, because at that time it wasn't in the Sheridan anymore, because I said I would never ever do a booth out of the Sheridan ever again. So I was like in the side B now, the new area that they added.
But they kept taking over more halls. It used to be one hall, and then
I know. But I mean, that worked out well.
But the whole thing, the funny thing about Anime North from the photographer side is, like, God, we are sick of shooting there. I have that same parking lot, that same glass
window. It does suck to shoot there. That's for
I've only been there a couple of times, and I'll tell you right now, I know if I see a picture, I know exactly where it was taken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's usually like underneath. That the it's like a parking garage looking area.
Garage next to what I call the Doubletree. I think it's something else.
Yeah, that area. Yeah, then there's obviously just out in the parking lot. Then there's in behind Anime North up against the wall, which we actually shot there. Josh and I and Sarah, if you remember.
Oh, the Queensland shoot. Oh my
and,
God. Like, you guys look so adorable, but I can't let anybody see that because I wasn't shooting on a gimbal and it shaved.
It was good days, though.
You all look so adorable.
Yeah, not really anywhere to shoot there. Like, you actually have to go into a hotel area and set up your own.
Right.
If you have a hotel room, then you got to set it up in there. Like, if you want any good shots, that is.
Yeah.
And like, and the only advantage of being a photographer at a place like that is that everybody's there.
Yes.
Right.
That is an advantage. Everybody is fucking there.
Yeah. However, you will get like this microcosm of flakiness all packed into one weekend. Like, you know, people are there and they will still bail on you 15 minutes before.
It's like, you got to find them. It's Where's Waldo?
Yeah. You like try to schedule things. And like, I remember one day I set up 8 shoots.
Oh my God. Oh, good thing you set up a lot then.
Right.
And you have to be very conscious.
That's almost my 10-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, if you're
I try to show up to all my setup shoots at cons because I feel like that's the only time that I actually get good shots of the cosplay because I'm too lazy to put the cosplay back on any other time. Yeah.
I will get you to do it. We will. but yeah. So what ends up happening for me at conventions is I just gorilla shoot cosplayers because they'll pose for 10 seconds.
Oh yeah.
And then you make a cut, but it's like everybody freaking does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why I'm like, I need to rethink my approach to going to those when they start up again.
Yes. I went a couple years ago. Gary and I went up and ran into Josh.
I'm the guy there.
Yeah.
I'm the guy.
Years have been going, man.
I had no interest of going inside because I was like, I don't want to have to pay. I'm just here to hang out and, you know, take pictures. And then I had remembered one of my friends was there, so I sent her a message. I was like, hey, are you like around? And so I set a shoot up, and it was like back behind the Congress Center. There's like,
yeah,
like a black glass building.
Yep.
Yeah, right up against there. I was like, nobody else is around, everybody's like way out front.
I mean, that would be a cool background though. At least
it was it didn't really fit what she was wearing, but
that's the problem. that's why
it could potentially be easier to edit out.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my biggest problem with shooting cosplays at conventions is that I want them to be character specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also very much like that. I like to have my portraits of cosplays come out to be very that character, yeah, which is also why I get into a lot of the editing stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it helps that you have a graphic design background.
It's either like you location scout like really well to find that one spot, or you just, mm-hmm, you composite it.
You find a blank wall.
Yeah.
Like for when I do 2B, I have a certain spot that I want to do, but I have to travel all the way back to Lindsay for it.
Ooh. That's kind of far.
I mean, it's not really. It's an hour outside of Toronto. Maybe even a little bit less.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, not far for me, far for you, but.
Sort of.
Everything's far for us.
Yeah. Well, not really. Once you're in Toronto, everything's an hour away.
Yeah, exactly, right? Once you're in Toronto, you're in the heart.
That's kind of how Ontario was built. It was Toronto and then Toronto everything here, else.
And then we'll make some roads go this way and that way. Yeah, and right. We'll put some cows over there.
Yeah. Yeah, so back to the traveling thing. I had a train of thought, but I don't want to lose it. So like I've thought about that, like for me, because like I see all these photographers, the photographers I look up to most travel.
Yeah. Every photographer. Yeah.
And I think about me not traveling going, I think that might be the missing piece. So
it helps because it gets your face out there. You're meeting people that would never think that would, even people who don't use certain aspects of the internet, you're meeting them in person where they can be like, oh, now where can I look you up?
Yeah.
You know?
So like I have, because I was supposed to go to that Aruba trip last month, mm-hmm, and I didn't go. So I have a credit now with American Airlines. So I'm using it to start that process.
That's good.
And I haven't really decided on where yet, but I was thinking somewhere like Vegas.
Yeah.
And then
I want to go back to Vegas.
Set up some shoot. I mean, I can let you know if you'd like.
Vegas is my second home currently.
I've never been, but it's been on my list for years.
I don't gamble, but I have friends who live there, so every time we go, we don't do the touristy stuff.
Yeah,
you just have a room at Kelly's, like you don't even need a hotel.
Kelly's or Justin and Moe's. I stay at either of their places.
There we go. You don't even need a room.
See, I don't want to do any of the touristy things either. Like, I don't want to go see the Grand Canyon. I don't want to go see.
No, Grand Canyon you won't be able to see because that's like 3 hours outside of Vegas.
But just like, I want, like, if I was going to do anything touristy, I want to do a shoot out in Red Rock Canyon. I also want to do like the dry lake bed and like just out in the desert somewhere. And
then I would like to shoot out in the desert. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then I want to see the strip, but I want to see the strip so I can shoot it at night.
Yeah, you have to see the strip at night because you have to go see the volcano.
Well, during the day, it's boring. Like, let's be real.
Well, I mean, there's still lots of stuff going on in the day. I mean, you can drink wherever the fuck you go.
Oh, so. Yeah, I know. You can grab a drink and walk down the street.
Fat Tuesdays! That's where I always end up. I go get my fucking Bellini and I start walking.
Oh god, I'm gonna be, if I'm along for this trip, I'm gonna be the one with cats because I don't drink.
Yeah, I won't drink much, at least not like while I'm trying to be like a photographer.
Yeah, but you have to have at least one night where you just let go.
Yeah, no, absolutely, I'm there all day for vacation, but
all day and night. Yeah.
We'll make it the first day. Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, get drunk on the plane on the way there. But yeah, so that's my plan. I want to start because like being a traveling photographer, it's more like respectable. Like I feel like it's
more essential if you're not focusing on like weddings.
Right.
And stuff like
that. And see, I don't ever want to do a wedding again if I don't have to.
It's good money though, isn't it?
It can be, but it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of work. It's a long day. My God. The last wedding I shot was 13 hours.
Oh my God. I was a bridesmaid and I never want to do that again. So I can only imagine.
Yeah. And then like, I there's always an issue. It's never like with the couple. The couple's always great. But
like
something
yeah.
The day, there's a part of the day where it's horrible.
Yep.
So like the last wedding I shot was at a venue down in Niagara on the Lake. So you can imagine where this story is going to go. They refused to feed the vendors.
What?
So the videographer, the photographer, and the DJ weren't allowed food because of the venue. They're like, we don't feed vendors.
What the fuck?
And so I walked over to the bride, who I've known since I was like 14. And I was like, hold on a second, just so you know, this is what's happening. And I wanted to let you know because my name's on the guest list and I'm not getting food. And you paid for it.
Yeah.
So she fucking walked over to the wedding planner and fucking reamed her out.
Good. That's fucked.
For the bride. That's okay. Right. Done.
Yeah.
So who doesn't feed their help, first of all?
No, every wedding I've ever been to, I've been fed. Even when I wasn't scheduled to be fed.
Yeah. Every wedding I've been to, the bartenders are drinking with us. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. It never I was like, pardon me. And this is like a high end. Niagara. Yeah.
Like, who says that? Don't cheap out.
Like they literally went the don't socialize with the help route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, they're the help too. Yeah. And then the wedding that Josh and I did together, the mother of the groom was a bitch. Because the father of the groom is the one that hired us and they're divorced. Oh, so like it was what time did I put all my stuff away? Like late. Like we're talking
8:39.
Yeah, we got there at like 10 a.m. I think. And by like 8:30, 9 o'clock, we're like, okay, we've got all the shots. We're done. Everything's like the cake cutting, everything has been finished. Yeah. I'm literally taking pictures of Uncle Tom dancing and there's nothing left. Literally nothing left. So I put my camera away and Josh is, I don't remember, you were doing one more thing. I don't remember what it was.
I think the very last thing I did, they were doing like kind of a group dance and I was kind of like right in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they did the Buffalo Bills thing.
Okay.
The shout, whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, so they were doing that, some dance thing, and that's a video thing, not a photography thing. So
yeah.
I put all my stuff away, put it away in the car, and then I'm sitting there having a beer with the father of the groom who hired me, who was my friend. Mm-hmm. And he would just, you know, shooting the shit, you know, talk about how good the wedding was and how fun it was and yada, 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 all the positives, right? And then his ex-wife comes over and goes, can you take a picture of me and my brother? And I was like, I put all my stuff away already. What are we even paying you for? And then David, who is the father, goes, you're not paying him. I am. Go away.
Go away.
And also, like, I don't know if we put it in our contract or quote or whatever, but like our quote is 6 hours coverage.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably had an hour, like a certain frame. Yeah.
They got so, out of six.
Shoo, yeah. Bitch.
Yeah. And now I'm a guest because I'm friends with the bride and groom.
Good. That's funny.
Yeah. But it's things like that where I'm just like, I don't want to deal with this shit.
That's fair.
It's not worth the paycheck.
And me personally, as you know, I feel like there's only so many ways you can do a wedding. And yeah, I don't want to do
it. It's basically the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it is the same
thing. There's a formula.
Yes.
It's either the people stick with it because they like the money or they don't because they don't want to deal with that. And it's the same thing.
Our last podcast was a wedding photographer and his specialty is elopements. So I think that's keeping him more interested.
Right. Yeah, because everyone's different and it's only there for like 3 hours.
Yeah. His are very spontaneous. So I could see that being better. But yeah, I don't have much interest in weddings either.
I definitely like I've narrowed down my niche and I know what I want. And I figure with this time off now, I'm going to take advantage of the time off. And if I can't make it work in a year, then I just go back to work.
Makes sense. But
as of right now, I'm 3 months in and I'm doing fine. So
that's good.
That's a positive.
That is a positive. Yeah. That's a really big positive.
It's definitely growing.
Yeah.
It's definitely growing. I'm making more money now than I was when I was at work.
Good.
Which is what I wanted because I was living very comfortably.
I hear that. I go through like phases where like I'll have a bad month and then I go through utter stress and self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And then the next month I'll be like way above positives and I'll be like, okay, I'm good. I'm fine.
I've had a couple of days of self-doubt where I'm just like, rah, 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 rah. And then I was facing it the other day. I was like, I'm getting cabin fever. I don't want to be here anymore. I need to go outside and do something and shoot somewhere else other than my, you know, backdrop. And so I booked myself a hotel room for a night, mm-hmm. went and did a couple of photo shoots and then slept at the hotel. And then I'm fine now.
Good.
Just
well, that's get good. Away for you just a had day. To get out.
Yeah. Get away for a day.
Yeah. We went to Windsor last weekend. So it was nice. It was nice to get out.
But yeah. So, well, I figure this might be a good cutoff point. So thanks for being on our podcast.
Anytime.
And I will let you know when it comes out.
Yay.
All right. Do the shout outs.
Oh, yeah. So Chantel, where can our people find you?
At zombae.com, zombae.com.
I like how you said Z. Yeah, yank.
Dead Z. I don't know. It depends on what sentence I'm using it in.
Yeah.
But sometimes Z sounds better.
Yeah. It does. In that case, it definitely does. So zombae.com.
Yeah, see, and then if I said the Z-O-M, it kind of stops the sentence.
It does, you're right. The Americans might have something there. So yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.